from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
There and welcome to the rewrap for Tuesday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on News Talk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning, the employment figures have got Mike a bit confused. We'll drill down on that shortly. Paul Kelly has a number one album out for the first time in his career, even though he's a bit of a legend. Sky TV goes from absolutely terrible to bloody terrible, and we'll preview the minor party debate on Friday. But before we have to do that, we've got to deal with this one that happened late on TV3 last night.
Ultimately, if you believe that elections are won and lost on economic performance, then specifics are going to become increasingly important. Adonis survived and thrived on a couple of weeks of personality, media fawning and goodwill, not to mention the extraordinary luck of having the Greens implode just as she rose to power. But a campaign is a mini marathon, and eventually the nitty-gritty and detail need to be faced, and Labour are struggling. Joyce's claim about the $11 billion may or may not be right, but who's going to check? I mean, really, who's going to check? Not the average voter. But the claim comes from a government whose economic credibility is solid, so it has weight. And Labour's issue is they've promised over $20 billion worth of stuff, and they still won't detail the taxes, hoping that enough people believe that a working group, after the poll, is an acceptable way to run a campaign. I don't think it is. I've never thought it is. And my gut says that is the realisation of an increasingly large number of people as more and more of us start to sharpen our focus. Till now, Labour message is all about change, the feels, if you like, but a vote as opposed to a debate or a soundbite or a chat around a water cooler is a serious thing, and money matters more to voters than just about anything else, and more than many will openly admit. And if National can plant the seed of fear around taxes, lack of specifics and massive promises that may or may not add up, my sense of it is that there is traction in that.
I thought it was most odd that both leaders had to stand with their backs to the live audience. There's been some odd decisions around the live audience at the two debates so far. The first live audience, I'm not even convinced were live because they didn't seem to be allowed to make any noise or clap or anything like that or even move. So they could have been mannequins for all I know. And then last night, although there was a bit of audience participation, it happened behind the leaders and they had to look at Patrick Gower instead. Nobody wants to do that, do they? It's very odd. Anyway, one of the issues perhaps at this election are the employment statistics.
Jacinda Ardern lost this one. She was talking about she's going to cut immigration. And everyone's quite rightly asking, well, if you're going to do that, how do we build more houses? How can you build 100,000 more houses as per your policy with fewer people coming to the country, given a good number of people coming to the country swing a hammer? And she doesn't have an answer. She said their special visa is going to create the 5,000 jobs needed, but it's 56,000 jobs we need. 56,000 people swinging hammers, not 5,000. Anyway, at the unemployment rate of 4.8%, a lot of the argument, this is Labour's argument, is we've got a lot of what they call underutilised people. In other words, in that 4.8% and the broad argument that everyone who wants a job can get a job, people like Labour go, no, 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 that's not true. There are people there who do want work, they're just not registered to be employed. And this is one of the weird things. And apparently this number is 327,000 people. 327,000 people in this country want work, apparently, but you can be not on the list if you, for example, are doing a course or you're volunteering. One can argue, well, if you're busy volunteering, why don't you busy yourself getting a job? Or, and here's the official list, or you are too disheartened or too lazy. Now, let me ask you this question. If you're an employer and you're looking to hire a person to build a house, is your pool of talent going to come from a person potentially who is too disheartened or too lazy to even be bothered to register to be unemployed in the first place?
I've heard of the lazy people before. This is the first I'm hearing of the disheartened people. The great uncounted and disheartened. I suppose that's one of the things that can definitely dishearten you if you haven't even been counted in the statistics, I would have thought. I think now that we've counted them, maybe they'll take heart, hopefully. Paul Kelly, I don't think he's ever lost heart. He's been producing music forever.
Now, Paul, you talked about writing the songs. You said it's a scavenging art, a desperate act, a little bit here, never quite knowing what you're doing. You're talking yourself down a bit in reality, you reckon?
No, I'm not meaning to say that at all. It's just, it's not, songwriting is not like, people sort of talk about songwriting as a craft, but I've never thought of it that way. I mean, a craft to me is, it's making a pair of shoes or making a table. I mean, you know, when you're a craftsman and you can get up in the morning and say, I'm going to make a pair of shoes. I know steps A, B, C, D, and E, and at the end of the day, I'll have a pair of shoes. But songwriting's not like that. You know, I'll turn up to work. You've got to turn up. I go to the piano or the guitar, but at the start of the day. But at the end of the day, I might not have a song. It's much more like fishing, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, you got to turn up. You got to go fishing day one, two, three, four. Might not catch a fish, and day five, you're there and you catch fish. You might catch a whole load.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What about the co-writing though? I mean, how does that work? Do you enjoy that? Obviously, you co-written with a lot of people, and Missy Higgins and Casey Chambers, and so it goes. You obviously get something out of that, and presumably they get something out of it.
Yeah, I think all writers fall into their own habits and patterns. And co-writing or collaborating is a way of shaking those patterns up. And the beauty of it is, you know, if you're writing with another person, you come up with something that neither of you could have done on your own. I mean, that's the beauty of collaboration. You make this thing that wouldn't have happened unless you got together. I mean, that's why people join sports clubs or join choirs or go to church or whatever they do, or have a, you know, make a festival,
yeah,
to be part of something that's bigger than just themselves.
Now, sorry about the phone line there. In fact, his phone went flat, and we had to end the interview a little bit early. And I feel like that when you are an Australian music legend, can somebody not get him a decent phone? Can we not get that guy a Galaxy S8? Maybe the new Note 8. Can we get him that? The battery life on those things is fantastic. He's a music legend. Now, television legend Sky TV. They've lost their legendary status now, haven't they?
Sky has never really been a friendly corporate. Big companies have a hard time, of course, but merely by being big. But Sky is not loved. Air New Zealand is loved, if you want an example of a big player with good vibes and to prove it can be done. But Sky, not so much. We've all had trouble with Sky, haven't we? We've all felt bled dry by Sky. We've all questioned their operation, the prices, the services, and so it goes on. So when a gargantuan operator like Amazon looms large, no one really has a lot of sympathy. The reality is for the punter, whether they watch the All Blacks on the net or the TV or via a box or a phone or the web or the satellite, doesn't really matter. And the bad news for Sky is that if Amazon wants something, they can get it. So if it's not today, it's next week or next year. But the reality is, it's coming. Perhaps if Sky has left itself needlessly vulnerable, it's now so reliant apparently on not just sport but the All Blacks. And most business models show that putting most of your eggs in one basket is a very risky business indeed. But if you ever want an example of how rapidly and dramatically the media landscape is changing, follow Sky and watch what happens.
Yeah, they seem to have lost touch with reality, much the same way the music industry and the film industry did earlier this century with the advent of a lot of digital advances. But I think big corporates, they should hire somebody to just be the reality checker, to just keep it real. I think that'd be useful. Anyway, we're going to finish up here. We started talking about last night's debate. Let's look ahead to Friday's minor parties.
Yesterday, I got the news that Damien Light is going to be on the debate.
You can't just make up people.
Nope, he's a real person, and I looked it up this morning to confirm it. Now, Damien Light, now here's the interesting story about him appearing on the multi-party leaders debate. Here are the rules at TV1.
What, so he's going to be moderating it instead of you?
No, he's not.
The petitioners have finally had their way.
No, he's not.
Who is this guy?
He is the leader of the United Party. Now, here are the rules. The rules at TV1 are if you're in Parliament or you reach 3% in the Colmar-Brunton. The Colmar-Brunton poll comes out this Thursday, which brings us to top, and I'll come to that in a moment. But think about it. United, although Peter Dunne's resigned and not contesting a seat, United are still in Parliament. Now, what the party have done is that Peter Dunne is still the parliamentary leader. Damien Light is the new leader of the party. And as such, the new leader of the party is entitled, because the party's in Parliament, to be at the debate on Friday. So my first question to Damien is, good evening, who are you? Followed by, what do you want?
And what are you going to do now that Peter's given away all your campaign pens?
Exactly. What happened to the pens?
Yeah, I think Damien's on a hiding to nothing, isn't he, old Damien Light? Especially given that, even though Mike alerted us to his very existence this morning on the most listened to breakfast radio show in the country. By the time we hit our morning meeting after the show at 8:30, Mike could not remember what his name was, and I had to remind him, even though I'm going to pretend that I've never heard of him every time he's brought up from now on. I am Glenn ZB. That was Mike, and what's his name for you for another day. We'll wrap up some more unknowns tomorrow. See you then.